come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? All righty, here we go. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Daniel 12 verse 3, NLT. Here we go. We're going to do it again because we're wise, right? Here we go. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Daniel 12 verse 3, NLT. One more time. We're going to do this, okay? Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Where's that? Daniel 12 verse 3, NLT. Good job. Okay, Daniel hats on. Here we go. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known.
Quick thing, there was one other song that we did this morning and we're going to do tonight as well. So, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah, I gotta tell you, this morning I woke up and I was giddy. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I got up and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, so then I'm gonna go in and get my coffee and I'm gonna get my book. And I was, it's 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm feeling like that. And I was really sad that Bill was not awake to see me like that because, you know, it's an unusual thing in the morning. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this scripture tonight. We thank you for this book of Daniel. We thank you, Lord, that you've gone before us and that you've opened it up before us, Lord. You've helped us to understand the things that are in it. You sealed it until the appropriate time. Thank you, Lord, that you have opened up those doors tonight, Lord, for us to hear from you, to hear what you have to say to us. I pray, Father, for the ability to speak your word and to not have any confusion, any kind of distraction. Lord, we stand against any work of the enemy tonight in the name of Jesus, and I don't know why I'm praying it. I just stand against any work of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We stand together, Lord, against anything that would exalt itself above your name. We We are here to hear of you, Lord, and we want to do that. And I pray, Father, that you would help me to express it in a way that is easily understood and that you would be glorified. We pray, Father, for real evidence of your Holy Spirit being here tonight, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Daniel, is encapsulated in verse 4:17. And in verse 4:17, it says, what is the purpose of Daniel? It is in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. God is sovereign over history. God is sovereign over history. God puts kings in places and God takes kings out of places. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm telling you, you don't have to vote, you don't have to worry about politics, because that is not true. You do need to be concerned yourself on the freedom of the politics that we have. We need to do the best we can to make sure that our children are protected and that we have someone in position or working towards someone being in position that is that will bring glory to the Lord or at least protect our children. At the end of the day, though, it is God who puts those people in those places. And it is God who takes them out of their government places. And so we can blame it on whatever we want to blame it on, but at the end of the day, it is God who has done it. And so that's what Daniel is about. The book of Daniel began with the destruction of Jerusalem, and it ends with the reestablishment of Jerusalem and the entering into the kingdom age and into the millennium. So it's all in here, and it's all been sealed up until such a time as this. The opening words in chapter 1 that say, at that time, it says it three times, at that time, at that time, at that time. Anytime we see that three times in the scripture, it means pay attention, and it means the time of the end, the time of the end, the time of the end. That's what it's referring to in that very first verse of chapter 12, at the end time, so the time of the end. The book of Daniel is, remember that this vision covers chapter 10, 11, and 12, so they were all together. Chapter 10 was when the vision was given. Chapter 11 was when they waited for days to get an interpretation of it. And chapter 12 is the revelation of that vision. So it all is tied together. And so that's what we're doing tonight. So the theme of the book of Daniel goes over the times of the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles, when Gentile dominance began, how and when it began, and how and when it will end. So the time of the Gentiles will end at that time when that 7-year period begins, and we'll get involved in all of that as we go along here. Each vision in the book ends at the same point, the destruction of the Gentile world power and the setting up of Christ's kingdom on earth. So each one of the visions from the very first chapter ends with how the Gentiles will lose their power, how the Gentiles will be put aside, and the setting up of Christ's kingdom. And so at the time of the end, at the time of the end, at that time, Michael shall stand up. At that time, at what time? It's the ending, or it's the continuation of chapter 11. Remember, they're all together. So the continuation of chapter 11 going into chapter 12, at that time, when you see these things going on, at that time, Michael shall stand up. Who is Michael? He is the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. So everyone who is found written in the book. It's clear that Israel can expect a time of unprecedented unprecedented woes, unprecedented misery, you know what? It's going to be a terrible time. It's just going to be an awful time. It's going to be a time that they have never seen before. That's what it says right here. It's going to be a time they never saw before or will ever see again. In Matthew 24, 21, it says that it would be a time of trial that was never before and never was again. And again, it says it in Mark chapter 13, verse 19. It's called the Great Tribulation in Revelation 7, 14, and it speaks of the abomination of desolation that's spoken of in Matthew 24, 15. And we see that abomination of desolation is also in verse 11 here. So we'll tie those together as we go along. So when we put Daniel and Revelation together, Daniel opened up, could not be opened up until Revelation was written. Daniel had to stay sealed until Revelation was written because they tie together. They all go together. And so this is all pieced together here. And so we have Daniel and we have John and we have the Lord Jesus relate the great tribulation to a judgment that is to come upon the whole world immediately preceding the coming of the Son of Man to earth in power and great glory. He's not coming with great glory, although Greg Laurie might be in a position where he would come with him at that particular time, come with great glory in Matthew 24, 29. He is going to come with great glory. And we are so ready. So this could not be speaking of the destruction that took place in Jerusalem in 70 AD. Why not? Because Jesus Christ did not come in great glory at that time. So that's why it can't be there. This is the time that we're speaking of, the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist himself will seat himself in the Holy of Holies and call himself God. Now, the Antichrist is not the opposite of Christ. The Antichrist is, descendant is not the right word, but Satan is the one who's in control of him. And I believe that it could be Satan himself that seats himself in the Holy of Holies because he's always wanted to be God. He's always wanted to be in that place of power. He's always wanted that glory. And so he seats himself there. But Satan is on the same level as Michael, the archangel. They're on the same level. They are both created beings. And Satan goes in and out of heaven. Remember in the book of Job? He goes before the Lord and he says, have you considered? Our God said, have you considered my servant Job? Now, I want to talk to God about that one. Because if he ever said, do you want to consider my servant Joy? I would be offended. It would hurt my heart to know that he had, no, not really. But he is able to go into heaven. He is able to speak with those that are in heaven. That time when he is put during the millennium, he is put into, locked up for that 1,000 years will be the only time that, and then he'll be dealt with after that 1,000 years. So just so that we have that right as to who he is. So this time of trouble, we haven't been through World War I. None of us, I don't think, in this room have been through World War I. But we have seen the evidence of World War I and World War II, the atrocities that have gone on in World War II. And in all of the wars since then, and all of the atrocious things that are happening. And we see, right now, we see people, just on the news recently, a woman who killed her 3 children. But you know what? We have a bill before us, 22-23. What's the age block? What is the time that it's not okay to kill your children? They have a time that they say up to this time, 28 days after birth. But who's to say that she says, well, you know, I I just couldn't handle it. So, you know, it's the same thing. Isn't it the same thing? God's got this. So anyway, we've seen some terrible times, but it's going to be worse than we can even imagine. This timing is going to be worse than we could even imagine. It is talking about the 70th week of Daniel that Daniel spoke about, that 70th week, that 7 years time. The first 69 weeks led us to the cross, and then we've been waiting all these years for that last week to be before us. It's going to be the wrath of God that will be poured out in that last 3.5 years. It's going to be the wrath of God during that time of tribulation. The wrath of God, the word that describes wrath of God, a Greek word that is orga, or O-R-G-A, orga. And it means calculated, rational, focused anger. Calculated, rational, focused anger. God will not pour out calculated, rational, focused anger on his children. An illustration of that is my friend told me about this. He said he built a playhouse outside for the kids. And in that playhouse, there was a wasp's nest. And so the kids told him there was a wasp's nest in there, and he had told them that they weren't supposed to go in there, but they went in there anyway, and they found the wasp's nest. And so he got the spray, and he took them up there with him, and they all went into the house, and he sprayed it, and then he went out the door and closed the door behind him. No, that never happened, but that's what it would be like for God to pour out his wrath on his children. You see, they weren't supposed to be in there. That would be punishment, wouldn't it? But God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that to his kids. I see worried looks on your faces. He didn't really do it. It was just an illustration. I don't want you to worry about his kids. They're not going to be, they're fine. They're well adjusted and everything. So, but during the wrath of God, this is a time of judgment, and it is a time of discipline that goes on. And it says in here in verse 1, everyone who is found written in the book. Written in the book. What is this? This is the Lamb's Book of Life. Who is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There was a point when everybody was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you'll need to go on your own study of all of that so that you can understand all the intricacies, because it goes with, can I lose my salvation? Am I secure in my salvation? I don't know. But let me talk to you about the Lamb's Book of Life. Moses spoke of it in Exodus 32, verses 31 and 32. The psalmist in Psalm 69, 28. We find it again in Revelation 3:5, and yet again in 1 John 5:5. And with that, we move on to verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those who are coming out of the dust will have had already a spiritual resurrection. When we come to Christ, that is a spiritual resurrection. We've been changed from death unto life, so we have that spiritual resurrection. Now they are having a physical resurrection, a physical resurrection when they will come out of the grave. Don't even ask me, what are they going to look like? What about the ones that were burned? What about the ones that were drowned? What about the ones that were this? What about the ones that were that? If he made our bodies the first time, he can make them a second time. So we don't have information on that, so we can't speak to that. All it says is those who are dead in Christ or dead in faith will rise at that time, at that physical resurrection. And then they have, then this chapter also speaks of a national resurrection. And that physical resurrection of believers is 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. So, and then there is going to be that national resurrection. Jerusalem, Israel is going to rise again, and it will be put back together. All of these resurrections are not done at the same time. From what I read, the resurrection, all of us have different times of our spiritual resurrection. When we came to Christ, we all had a spiritual resurrection at the time we came to Christ. The time that people would be raised from the dead, those some to everlasting life, those will be raised before the millennium, and some to shame and everlasting contempt will be raised after the millennium because it is the time of judgment. They will be brought up at that particular time. So it's as clear as mud. I know it is, but that's what the scripture says. So all of these, so the tribulation will be the darkest period in human history, but no matter how hard the times have been or will be, the darkest times allow the largest opportunity for letting the gospel light shine. Have you found yourself when you are in the deepest, darkest time of your life? It's when you shine for the Lord the most, because people are seeing you walk through a situation with the love of Christ shining through you. Those are the times when we are able to share Christ. And you know what? In the tribulation that we're not going to be a part of, because we're going out before it, before the wrath of God. But during the tribulation, people will be saved. We'll see that a little bit later. People will be saved. People will come to know their Messiah during that tribulation time. Daniel and John were speaking of those who will defy the decree of the Antichrist that all worship him, and they will courageously teach others the pure gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24, 14. There will be people in that time that will courageously, in fact, there'll be 144,000 who will speak during that time. 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe that will be witnesses for the Messiah, witnesses for Christ, and they will be speaking that boldly. We are all to shine as lights. Matthew 5, 14 and 16, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine that men would see your good works and glorify. Why would they see your good works? So that they can glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the purpose for it. In John 5, 35, he was a burning and a shining light, speaking of John the Baptist. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 13, 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention is what that means. The world has its stars. They give out crowns. They give out statues. They give out all of these things to the stars of the world. But you know, the stars of the world have their reward. They have a statue. They have a crown. They have some little thing. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 speaks of that. But God has his stars who appeal to the spiritual needs of men, and God's stars will receive their reward. What is their reward? What is our reward as God's stars? Our reward is the ability to reflect and shine for His glory. Have you ever thought, and we'll put those scriptures with that, 1 Corinthians 15, 41 and 42, and Luke 19, 15 through 26. So when you think of the rewards you're going to get, do any of you go, okay, so he said, I'm gone to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you so. Okay, so I'm getting a mansion. I wonder if it's Spanish style or maybe it's Mediterranean. And I wonder how the bathroom's going to be decorated. I would really like this to be like this. And we think in terms of those material things, don't we? We think of rewards as being material things. But why are we alive? We are alive that God might get the glory. We are alive that God might get the glory. Our reward is the ability to reflect and shine of His glory. Paul said, the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that God has prepared for those who love Him. God prepared things. You know, Paul said, I went to the third heaven and I can't even, there are no words to explain what God has prepared for those who love Him. There are no words that I can't use my words. There's no word to describe it. So it always interests me when the people say, yes, I went to heaven and this is what happened. And this is what it looked like. When Paul said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Those amazing things that He has for him. And in verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And yes, it does speak of cars and planes and rockets and all those things, all that transportation that keeps us going to and fro, and we're running from here and to there and to the other place and up there, and knowledge has increased. We have come to the place where knowledge doubles every 2 years. The rate that knowledge increases, it doubles every 2 years at this particular point in history. So, but why? That is true of this scripture. However, would you consider the fact that this scripture is talking about now? See, it's been closed to Daniel. It's shut up to Daniel. Seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Many shall run to and fro trying to find out, what does this book of Daniel mean? What does this book of Revelation mean? How is this? How can I get this knowledge? I'm going to go to this place and go to that place, and I'm going to find out what it is that is written in here that affects me. A few commentators who had something to say about this, Darby said, he translates it, many shall diligently investigate and knowledge shall increase. They will investigate what is being said here. Fawcett says, many shall scrutinize it, running through every page. Leupold, many shall diligently peruse it and knowledge shall be increased. So Daniel will not understand it, but the eyes of many will run to and fro across the pages eagerly, wanting to understand what has been written for us to know. Revelation 22:10 says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So by the time Revelation was written, and now the time that we're beginning to look at it, it's opening up. We're understanding it. We understand that Revelation is Daniel, and Daniel is Revelation. That this is Revelation is the culmination, or is the culmination, I guess, is the right word there, of Daniel, of this last part of Daniel, of this vision of Daniel here. It's talking about the abomination of desolation, seating himself in that place. And so All that was shut up to Daniel and the Jews of that day is now unveiled to believers, so that with the book of Revelation before us, we may now understand the message in the book of Daniel, which is basically what I just said. The sealing of it by Daniel was for the purpose of preserving it, this inspired work, this informative work. It preserved it. It had to be sealed up. People had to not understand it. Because you remember early on in Daniel, they said it couldn't have been written beforehand because it was so spot on that they didn't, it couldn't possibly be in prophecy. It couldn't possibly have been said beforehand. But because that was fulfilled and this part was not understood, because the first part was in fact fulfilled, then it showed them that this has to be preserved because this last part must be going to be fulfilled as well. So that's why he had to shut it up for that time. And so in light of the prophecies contained in it, Daniel might become one of the most widely read books in the last days preceding Christ's second coming. I would say, I mean, this is the biggest women's Bible study we've ever had, all on Daniel. We have guys that are not included in the count that are also studying Daniel through this study book, because they want to know. It's been opened up. God is revealing himself and showing himself to us. Now, in verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who we know from chapter 10, verse 5, that this was in fact Christ, the post-incarnate Christ. It was after his resurrection. It was what he looked like after his resurrection, who was above the waters of the rivers. How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the rivers, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for 3.5 years, rather than going through all that time and time and time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, when God's people and their desires have been completely shattered, when the discipline has been completed, when the judgment has been completed, all these things shall be finished. So this section is speaking of the same persons that were in chapter 10, chapter 11, and now we see them in chapter 12 here. We see it just as we saw it as his resurrection. Did you notice that Christ is the one that is over the water, and on either side are the angels? It's likening it to that time of his when he went up into the heavens. And so the question is, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And it's going to be for 3.5 years. And that was mentioned in chapter 7, verse 25. And also it was mentioned in chapter 9, verse 27. This will be a time that begins when the Antichrist sits down in the Holy of Holies and calls himself God. We've talked about that already, the abomination of desolation spoken of in Matthew 24, 15, and in Revelation 11, 3. So it's there in both of the books, both of them tied together there. So in verse 8, although I heard, and how long will it be? Before we go to verse 8, how long will it be? Matthew 24, 22 says, for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. For the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened, because mercy triumphs over judgment. In verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. And then I said, my Lord, what shall the end of these things? What shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So he's telling Daniel, you go ahead, live your life. You've been doing a great job. You've been living for me. Continue to live for me. You know how to pray. You know how to walk with me. You purposed in your heart a long time ago what you would do in these particular situations. Thank you for doing that. Continue on as you have been going. And during this time that it's sealed, but I want to encourage you, verse 10, many shall be purified, made white, and refined during that time. Many will be saved during that time. Many will be raised during that time. Many will be purified. Many will be walking in white. Many of will be purified and refined during that time of tribulation. When God chastens his children, the principle is always the same for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Partakers of his holiness, Hebrews 12:10. That's the purpose of the discipline that we're talking about right here, that would cause men and women to be refined, to be white, and to be refined and to be purified. So in the tribulation, many Jews will be saved. John heard the elders asking, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Revelation 7:13-14. They were made white by the blood of the Lamb. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow." It makes no sense. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. How come they are white? Because it is the blood of the Lamb that purifies. "But the wicked shall do wickedly. The wicked shall not understand. They have persisted in willful unbelief." They have persisted in willful unbelief. "And they won't see the good when it is, even when it's before them. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Those who are paying attention. The wicked have chosen not to. They've chosen not to understand. They don't want to understand. And so their eyes have been closed to what's being said and what's being done at this particular time. "The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We don't understand the Bible until we're born again. Until we have the Spirit of the living God living in us, there is clarity in the Bible when we come to know Jesus. Did any of you, like me, before I knew the Lord, I would read the Bible and I'd go, "Yeah, I know 23rd Psalm. Okay, Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down green pastures, leads me beside still waters, and restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley, shall I fear no evil. Thou art with me, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Goodness and mercy follow all me, all the days of my life." Okay. Cool. Yeah. But when I got saved, when I gave my heart to Christ, when I was, my spiritual eyes were open, I see him as my shepherd. I see him as leading me in a place where I'm safe, where he cares for me. I see him leading me beside the still waters. They're not raging waters, they are still waters. Calm waters, peace. He restores my soul. Do you need your soul restored? I think it's something that happens again and again. God needs to restore my soul so that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So that goodness and mercy follows me. So that the deeds that I have done, the goodness and mercy is behind me for others to partake of. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But the wise shall understand, John 16:13. says that he will show us the things to come. Paul said, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who know him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit reaches all things, yes, the deep things of God," 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. "But God revealed them to us who are spiritually minded." James, so I don't understand this. You say, "I don't understand this." Go to James 1:5 and ask wisdom, and ask of God for that wisdom, and God who will give it to you liberally. Okay, so we move into now, "So many will be purified and the wicked," and all that. And then the fun verses come. "And from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away," so this is talking about the abomination of desolation is set up, "there shall be," it should come out to 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. But it says that it's 1,290 days. Where'd we get the 30 days from, and what are we going to do during those 30 days? I do not know. And there's nothing that tells us that. But here we have differing opinions on that. Ironside suggests that the extra days will be devoted to purging out from the kingdom all things that offend and are evil. Talbot says it is the time when the sanctuary is cleansed and the earth is purified. And I leave it without being dogmatic on any of it, because it's not here, so I can't say this is the way that it is, because God has not revealed it through his word. So we won't be dogmatic on it. And so Daniel was told to go your way to the end. So, "But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest," or "you shall die, and you'll rise to your inheritance at the end of the days." You will rise again. You, at the end of the days that I've spoken to you about, you will rise in those days. I have things prepared for you. And so he's told, keep living the way that you're living, and know that at the end you will be there. Persecution and tribulation will come, but keep going. And when life on earth is over, you will rest. Then your day of resurrection and reigning will come. So here's the challenge. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the things of the Lord. And then 1 Peter 1:13. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let your mind wander to places that it doesn't belong. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Are we only talking about drinking? No. Be sober. Be alert. Be aware of what's going on. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Revelation 2:10 says, "Don't fear for what's going to come upon you. Do not fear for those things which are about to come. You be faithful, and I will give you a crown of life." So the book of Daniel ends in victory. It ends in victory. For Daniel and for all who trust in Daniel's God, the best is yet to be. Matthew 25:34, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." And so I say to you, keep your fork. Some of you know what I'm talking about. An aged woman was preparing her own funeral, and she told the pastor, "Please make sure that I have a fork in my hand." And when they ask you what it's for, you are to tell them. When you're invited to someone's house for dinner, and they clear the table, and they say, keep your fork, it means you're not having Jell-O. You're not having pudding. You're having something of substance. She said, the best is yet to be. Remind them that the best is yet to be. And that's where we're at. The best is yet to be. So if you have never received Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off one more second. I would assume that all of you know Jesus as your personal Savior. But only God knows your heart. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day to do it. And so, Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Lord, with thankful hearts. Thankful that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and with your loving kindness you have drawn us. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened up things in the book of Daniel, and some things remain a mystery for the appointed time. We thank you, Lord, that we know that we are safe in your arms, that we can follow closely behind you. Thank you, Lord, that you go before us and you go behind us and you go to either side of us, you surround us. Thank you, Lord, that you are our fortress, you are our high tower. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you are our shield and buckler. Thank you, Lord, that you have covered us. Thank you, Lord, that you have covered us with your wings. Help us, Lord, to tuck underneath those wings and find rest and peace. And Lord, as we continue on in this study next week, just going over all of this stuff one more time, Father, remind us of what we have learned and don't let it slip from us, Lord. Help us to follow what you have said. And we want to bring you the honor and the glory and the praise that is due your name, Lord, that you might be glorified through our lives. And in our small groups, Lord, we want you to be glorified as well. And we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I will see you guys next week. Don't forget to stay in the Word. I know this is not the last study, but you know what? As you look toward the summer, make that plan to stay in the Word. And we're going to be back here again on September 13th is going to be the study beginning, and it's going to be in 1 Corinthians. So, all right. God bless you guys. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name.